This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on Tuesday the 12th of June here on channelradio.co.uk/2 and bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my stonkingly gorgeous co-host...
Miss Bird on a bike.
Miss Bird on a bike. World championship contender.
Here, apparently you're coming to Italy. That's what I've just been told here.
I wonder who may have told you that.
Tell Paul we're off to Italy.
Is that right?
You need to tell Stephen as well.
Where in Italy is the...
Varese.
I beg your pardon?
Varese.
Frenzy.
Varese, V-A-R-E-S-E. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Varese.
Varese. Yeah. Ciao, bella.
Yeah, okay. And we're going, are we?
Apparently so. All right, we're going. That's it.
Cool.
Be great laugh, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
You could wear my apparel. I've been desperate to get
it. I could wear what? Hold on.
Desperate to get in there.
It's not. I'm not doing
business
one of those show. Holidays.
Business show.
This is a business show. I've just
business show.
I've got a new apparel.
We see what you mean.
Desperate. Sorry. When you said
yeah,
it would be brilliant marketing, wouldn't it?
I don't know. Do you want to sell any?
I think yes.
That may not work.
Well, we've already discussed the fact that she sells this stuff as she's cycling.
I do.
Yeah.
I've been saying, you missed it at the beginning. When I go to racing now, I'm making money because I talk to people and they say, what do you do? And I've got Bird and a bike all over me. And I'm selling books.
That's brilliant.
And I'm selling apparel.
It's apparel.
She rides down the road with a book going, bop, 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 bop.
And they're desperately going... Bird,
right,
when's your next one coming up?
Anyway, we need to crack on because we've got two fabulous guests to talk to in the next part of the show. We've still got loads of tweets coming in. We've still got loads of emails to read.
I've read it one email.
I'm going to read a tweet and then you can read another email.
Do it.
Yeah. It's from Southeast Timber and Dam. And they say, hello, Paul. For the first time in months, I'm around to listen to the Business Bunker show. Wishing you and your guests a great show. See you all soon. That's Annabelle. Thank you, Annabelle. And that's Annabelle from Southeast Timber and Dam.
We've been talking about this every week.
Black Deer.
Yeah. And you're going, aren't you?
I'm going.
I don't know if we are. No, we're not. We're in Denmark. Okay, so this is Edgeridge Park, Kent, 22nd to the 24th of June. Iron and wine. Iron and wine.
Iron?
Iron. I-R-O-N. Is it my
accent?
So
we're ironing. Are we ironing?
No.
Whilst drinking.
This is Keith Sutherland. This is Ashley Campbell.
Oh, okay.
This is... Oh, big. It's Festival Americana and Country Cities Camping, Custom Motorcycling, Artisan and Makers, Kids Adventures, Creative Workshop, Talks, Smokehouse Cooking and Barbecue, and Mr. Andrews will be there.
And Sam Palladio.
Sam Palladio.
Sam Palladio's there.
There's so much to tell you. It's ridiculous. Mm. You've got to go. Edgeridge Park.
For those that don't know, if you've ever watched Nashville on the TV, Sam Palladio is the guy that
Nashville.
Yeah, he's the guy that plays the main character in. He's going to be there. Yeah. He's one of the headline acts.
This is right up your street.
The Web Sisters are there. And there's all kinds of activities going on. It's a weekend as well, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. I'm going on Sunday. Fantastic.
That would be amazing to go.
Yeah, I'm going.
I hope it's good weather. Yeah, Do you want it? You should go, Ali. You'd be great. You could get up on stage and sing, love.
Yeah. I've had a tweet from Supply My Business, and they say, hi, Vanilla Web. Hi, Business Bunker. Please can we have a big shout-out today for our free after-hours business networking event next Thursday, the 21st of June, at Dartford Football Club. Booking is essential. Please see the Supply My Business website for more information and the booking link. And that's supplymybusiness.co.uk/Kent Business. It's a free after-hours networking, including refreshments at Dartford Football Club, and it's sponsored and supported by Jarman Solicitors, Metro Bank, Supply My Business, and Brian's Business Networking.
Cool. Slope Off Friday.
They've only just had it.
Well,
it was
she's
last
on
Friday.
It again. She's on it again.
Is
Hello,
she starting
Business
up?
Bunker.
Oh, blimey, they never give in, do they?
At Vanilla Web and Bird and a Bike next Slope Off Friday. Put this in your diary. The food is amazing. They are returning on July the 6th at 2 o'clock. May the force be with you.
Where are they going, do they say? Or are they going back to the Poet of Matfield?
It says at the Poet of Matfield.
Oh, right. Well, that's where the last one was.
Again.
So they're going back and they're going for another go. I know they liked it. I know, yeah, so that's where the poet is, Matfield.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Parking, is there parking?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's lovely. I mean, it is a fantastic place. I've had a tweet from Brian's Business Networking as well, who says, hi, Vanilla Web and the Business Bunker. Would appreciate a shout-out for the launch of BBN Bromley. It's a business networking breakfast next Wednesday, the 20th of June. Full details at bbnetworking.co.uk. That's bbnetworking.co.uk. Just a few places remaining, so do check that out. I happen to know the guy that's running that is Paul McCartney.
I saw that on Twitter. Has he lost all his cash?
I'm just telling you.
He still flies into Lidd on a Tuesday.
The Bromley Business Network is being run by Paul McCartney. I'm just telling you that. You can make up. I'm just saying. You can, if you buy a ticket, you can find out, can't you? But his name is definitely Paul McCartney.
Well, Venom Tech are all over it today. Venom Tech.
Oh, did you see that spider?
I've got it right here on the screen.
Yeah.
Another of our new arrivals this week, Carabina Verascola, a member of the group of the Pink Toad Spiders. They're Venom. What are you going to say?
Pink Toad.
Yeah. The venom contains many novel antimicrobial compounds. There you
go. It would. I was thinking that just the other day, actually. I wonder what spider contains many microbial compounds. I wondered if it's a pink toad variety. I found a toad in my swimming pool the other day. Big one.
Did you pick it up?
Yeah, I did. I had to fish it out because it had croaked. What? Just see what I did there. It had croaked.
Did you have gloves on? Because toads release things.
No, I had a net. It was on the bottom of the pool. My pool's 8 foot deep.
Do
I need to just scan and
scoop
it.
This is the trouble with pools, isn't it? Because the chlorine is just horrific for frogs.
I've got a massive pond. Yeah, and what all the animals do? They go, no, I'm not going in the pond. I'm going to go in that swimming pool, and then they all croak because it's full of chlorine.
Anyway. Tracy Ferguson is in London delivering training day.
I saw that.
So she's going to catch up with us later on. So please do go and listen to our listen again. It's worth doing,
isn't it? Most people do. And you can download it as a podcast, so you can listen it in the car or in the bath or on the beach or wherever you are. You can download it as a podcast.
People listen to it live in Gran Canaria, I believe.
They do. Indeed, they do.
Just checking he's still listening.
There's a masterclass with Jackie Barry on blogging and social media, and it's taking place on Thursday the 11th of July, 9:30 a.m. until 12:30 p.m. And it's at Churchill Square, King's Hill. If you want to book it, it's businesseventsuk.com/blogging and social media masterclass.
Well, while we're talking about that, it seems to be the time and date. A workshop with Jade Pluck, LinkedIn for Business, on Tuesday the 3rd of July, 9:30 a.m. till 12:30 midday, and that's £97 plus VAT. This includes full refreshments and a comprehensive training manual to take away, and that's at the Village Hotel in Maidstone. You need to go to www.wibblywobblywayworkshopskent.co.uk.
Four roles, four goals. Hi, Business Bunker Vanilla Web. Please give a shout out. Four roles, four goals, and the event at the official BSB sponsoring business gets a junior press team in their name. So basically, British Superbikes taking place at Brands Hatch. Four roles, four goals. Introduce young people to the world of media and press by giving them work experience at sporting events. And what they need is a sponsor, is a corporate sponsor to support them doing it at this particular event. And you get lots of benefits, not least of which going to the event. So please get hold of them. You can get hold of them on Twitter, number 4 roles, number 4 goals.
They've been on to me because they want to come in and do the show with me while you're away.
Did I?
Yeah. I said, you ain't ever going to do it.
Ah, now, yeah.
You're going to get me out of the way, aren't you? That's what you're going
to
do.
No. As if
actually,
I would. Yeah.
You can take Bird's place. Anyway, Woman in Business Networking Lunch, 13th of June at the Crown Lodge near Ashford. And this is chaired by Emma Lydiard. And the speaker this time is Kubi Springer of She Builds Brands and Jill Monk of All Health Matters. And you need to go to www. KentWomenInBusiness.co.uk. Do you know what? We've done this. Ali, you and I have spoken at the same time. We're quite good together at these things, aren't we?
You've spoken at the same time. Doesn't that conflict?
As long as they let me go on first, because I won't go on after her.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you, Ali.
I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. I think it's my loudness. But anyway, it's a great event to go to. Loads of good women there, aren't there? Mm. Nettie, actually, you were there when we spoke.
I was, and I'm still okay. I saw someone for a while afterwards for counselling, but after that, I've been all right.
Yeah, yeah. The tick's gone and everything. Yeah.
And I'm going tomorrow. I like those events. I think they're good.
It's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
God, where is the...
Yeah, I don't know. I always think they do them quarterly, don't they?
They do.
I think they're some of the best ones. Well attended. Good businesswomen in the room.
It's a shame I can't go. My radio show's on. That's The Conversation tomorrow at 1 till 2.
Did you see what she did there? She zoomed past on her bike and made a sale.
She did. It doesn't bother me because I'm going out for lunch.
Exactly. Not with me, Nettie.
Oh.
We keep trying to do this.
I know we do.
Yeah.
I know we do.
Anyway.
We've had another foreign island listener.
Oh.
Yeah. Alex Waterton. He says, I'm listening to The Business Bunker. I'm tuned in on the island.
Which island?
Sheppey.
All right.
He's our client's doing a monthly visit to upskill staff on Office 365. And he says F-Keys can help your staff save time and be productive. So do check it out. Follow him on the Twitter, either Alex Waterton or F-Keys. I want to talk to Sean now. It's that time in the show when we introduce our next guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Sean Smith. Sean is from Business Doctors. Sean, welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Good afternoon.
You've sat there very patiently listening to this nonsense for the last hour and a half.
I've been listening to everybody, taking it all in. So
but interestingly, I want you to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your business, but I kind of want to follow on the conversation we started with Nettie about all things startup, growth, business mentoring and all that kind of stuff, because I guess that's kind of your field, really.
Yeah, 100%. So if I may just talk about Business Doctors then for one moment. Business Doctors, it's been established for about 15 years in the UK. We've got about 40 business doctors around the UK, strategically kind of placed within Kent 3.
Right.
So we are a franchise. Mm. My territory as such is in West Kent, and right. then we've got other businesses.
So what kind of area do you cover, Sean?
West Kent, I call it the bit of the diamond, really. Mm. So effectively down from Crowborough up to Alpington, over to Westmorling and over to Westrum. So that's the
fantastic.
Part that
quite
I cover.
Quite a big patch.
But, you know, in terms of the network, we can refer business as well. So ultimately, anyone that we've kind of met before or, you know, from our previous backgrounds, we can work with. We offer business support, business consultancy, business mentoring to SMEs looking to achieve their vision. And that's very different to coin a phrase that my old boss used to say, different strokes, different folks. Mm. Very different for different businesses and different parts of where they are. So what we were talking about earlier on, really.
Mm.
So
what's your background, Sean? How long have you been doing Business Doctors?
I've only been doing Business Doctors. I invested in the franchise last summer.
Right,
so effectively kicked off last September.
Okay, so you're coming up to your first anniversary.
Coming up for my first anniversary, indeed.
Nice one.
Pre that, I spent 12 years working in the city. Mm. So I was a financial foreign exchange trader and derivative trader.
Right.
And then I went into working for my family business. So again, what we were talking about earlier on, I kind of know very well, working with my father in freight forwarding and logistics. That was the business.
Okay. Can I just ask you how you found that? I mean, you don't have to go into the detail if it brings you pain.
No, it doesn't bring me pain. Do you know what? I learned a lot. Mm. I learned a lot about business. I mean, the business, when I got involved with it, the business was very close to failing, to be honest. It was on its knees.
Right.
We had a very big black hole, which the FT had kind of lent us, took us down. So, you know, I got involved at a difficult time. But in terms of the learnings that that gave me personally, fantastic.
Mm.
In terms of the learnings that that gave me from a family business working with my dad, very interesting as well. People used to say to me, oh, it must be great working for your family, working for your dad. And actually, in truth, it was very challenging.
Mm.
And I like to use that word in a very kind of loose way. But it was. We had some humdinging rounds.
Mm.
Because, you know, ultimately... And we talked about it earlier from a nepotism standpoint, really, I didn't want to particularly work for the family business. I didn't want to be kind of classed as this boy that's come in and, he's just going to enjoy the trappings.
Mm.
So I wanted to work bloody hard, which I did, but yet to earn respect from the staff.
Mm.
And it was at a time when the business was very difficult.
Mm.
But equally, you know, my dad brought me in as someone that could help drive the business going forward from a financial perspective and a sales and marketing standpoint.
Mm.
And that's what we did. But, you know, I wasn't going to tell my dad what he wanted to hear, tell my dad what we needed to do as a business. And that in itself, regardless of if it's a family business, that can be challenging anyhow.
Yeah, it's especially difficult with father and son, isn't it? Because as a son, telling your dad what to do just doesn't sit, does it?
No, it doesn't. And ultimately, that's always going to be a challenge for us as you know, we were driving the business forward, 20 years difference. So, of course, we've got, we talked about it earlier, and I talk a lot about this with clients and businesses now. You know, if you've got shareholders or differing three or four shareholders, you've got guys or, the team's got very different views or aspirations of where the business might want to be and where it wants to end up. So that's always really challenging. But, my dad was great. He's an inspiration to me. He knows more than I could ever know about the business. So, there was learnings. But, of course, I had my own style as well. So it was trying to blend it.
What would you have liked him to do?
What do you mean? Sorry.
To support you in being able to help the business. What would you have liked from him to do?
Oh, he did. No, he supported it all the way. I mean, it was just challenging in as much that, my father had his views and how he wanted to take the business forward. And I did mine. The difference being is that Dad has spent, Dad started working when he was 16 and set the business up when he was 49, and got all those years of learnings, whereby I've come into it at the age of 30 with learnings from a very different background, in banking. So that was the challenge. But to be fair, he supported me 100%. We had our differences, which is fine. I actually think that's good in business. I think it's much better to have it on the table and be very clear.
There's a saying, if two men in business always agree, one of them's superfluous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ultimately, that's the point. You can't always agree in business, and actually, nor should you.
Yeah.
It's not a problem to disagree. And I always think it's good to have, we touched upon it again earlier, but it's good to have a view, good to have an opinion. It doesn't need to be taken up. And ultimately, that's kind of what I do now. So a lot of those learnings I bring into the conversations that I'm having with business owners, in as much as just to, ask them why. Why are you doing that? What is the outcome? What do you want the outcome to be?
Do you know, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because we were talking earlier about simplicity and being just, natural about what we do. And the funny thing is that probably the most powerful thing you can do is ask some very simple questions like why? Mm-hmm. And what do you want? And why do you want it? And when do you want it? And how do you want it? And they're very simple questions to ask. They're not so easy questions to answer always.
No, because actually often you don't know.
Yeah.
Often you don't know. You're in a business, you're doing things because you've been told to, or you think that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Or, you're looking at, and we talked about it earlier, with turnover. And I absolutely detest that. I don't agree that, when I started, I'll tell you a little story. When I started the business with my dad, there was a company. We were often, once we got ourselves back on track, there was often suitors in terms of who wanted to buy our business. We weren't looking to sell, but people come along. And there was one company that came along that were working about seven times our turnover, so around about £70 million turnover, and were making about a tenth of our profit.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there, and that was the first time that coming from London, because London was all about big numbers, all about big numbers, but it was the first time I sat there and thought, actually, why would I even want to be part of a business that's doing all of that legwork for that return, whereby we're working very hard, but actually we've got a far better return on it. So it's really, those are the lessons that I think that businesses do need to understand.
Absolutely.
They don't need to be caught up in that kind of, we need to be delivering this, we need to be delivering that. Certainly and, deliverables.
And don't you find that sometimes it's that kind of thinking that has skewed everything? People are totally focused on, we've got to make more turnover, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. But I don't actually look at what the outcome of that is. And all of a sudden, I mean, it happens to be a truism that most businesses that fail don't fail because they haven't got customers. They fail because they run out of money. It's cash flow. Yeah, because they haven't managed the business effectively. They've been going hell for leather to get customers, but they haven't looked at whether the customers they've got are actually profitable or not.
100%.
Which is another one of my things about firing useless customers.
Cash is king, and ultimately you need to. I mean, it's good if you want to grow market share. There's reasons for doing certain parts to your business if you want to, but there's got to be an outcome, and there's got to be an outcome that you're trying to drive to, not just an outcome that you might just end up at. Very different.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit about Business Doctors. You're nearly a year old in your particular franchise in your area, Sean. So who are the kind of people that you're working with? What I know that you probably target all kinds of businesses, but for the most part, is there a kind of pattern of who you're working with, or is it really diverse?
Very diverse, actually. Mm-hmm. I think, because of my background and from a logistics standpoint, that makes a lot of sense. I haven't targeted logistics companies, if I'm very honest, but those companies I can obviously add a lot of value to in terms of the particular sector that they're in. In terms of size, Business Doctors tend to kind of think about a sweet spot between 5 and 50 employees. I know that's quite wide, but again, not looking at turnover, because turnover, you can have a 2 or 3 person company that can be turned over quite a lot of money, and vice versa. So it's about those kind of that size from an employee standpoint. It's really about the individuals. It's about the owners of those businesses or the shareholders of those businesses and what they want to do, and where they want to take the business. And we touched upon that earlier. It's not necessarily just about startups.
Yeah.
It is about those businesses that maybe have plateaued and are looking to work out how they get to that next level. So that's the kind of sweet spot client, really. In terms of sector, not at all. For me, business, very much the same thread runs through all.
Yep.
If I'm very honest.
Yeah, it does.
We talked about it earlier, and we talk about people, and I'm passionate about people, and that's really important.
And sometimes coming at a business from outside the field that the business operates in is really helpful, because you're not sidetracked by this is how it's always been done. Which is one of the biggest blocks to creativity and innovation I've ever come across, which is, you know, we've always done it this way and the industry always does it this way. If you knew our industry, you wouldn't try and change that because it doesn't change, type of thing.
100%. I mean, the focus ultimately is always, on cash in terms of operation. We talk about measures. I think there's you do need measures in your business, not a load of them necessarily, but you do need measures. And all of those can run through every business, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't profess to be an expert in any particular field as such, but I've got a very good background and understanding of business in general, and I think that's what you need to bring to it. So that's why I kind of am very open to talking to all businesses. And if I'm really brutally honest, that's what floats my boat.
Yeah.
That's what really excites me, and I enjoy talking to different businesses and actually different challenges within those businesses. They tend to fall in the same kind of categories, but it's still slightly different nuances for different businesses.
Absolutely. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because I want to get your thoughts on coaching and mentoring. I think it's starting to change. But there used to be an awful lot of people who went, oh, I don't need coaching. I've been a manager or I've run a business for years. I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that. Do you still come across that quite a lot?
Yeah, often. That's one of my biggest challenges. And that's something that, I'm not a hard-nosed sales guy. I would never want to push that on anybody because it needs to be someone's choice. Ultimately, males have a bit more of a pride issue.
Yeah.
And actually putting their hand up and saying, do you know what? I think, not necessarily got an issue with the business, but I've got...
I just need help.
That's quite a tough thing for people to do.
Mm.
And I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've sat in front of clients whereby I've gone through the process. I know that I can help them, but actually they're not willing to be helped.
To be helped.
To be helped.
It's also a bit of a cultural phenomenon of this country, isn't it? Because if you look at other things like psychological help and counselling and any of that kind of stuff, that's something that we kind of eschew in this country. Whereas if you go to the United States, everybody visits a counsellor as entertainment. They've got 3 counsellors on the go at any one time. Whereas it's not something that we like to admit in this country as much, is it? That we need help and support and someone to talk to.
And often it's not necessarily just about help, it's just someone to talk to.
Talk to, absolutely. As a sounding board. Exactly.
Because actually a lot of these guys are in business and it might be them at the top, and they effectively are doing that FD role, the ops director role. They're doing all of that, those kind of tasks, and they've got a team below, but they've got no one to bounce ideas off. Or even to sanity check, just some of the things they want to discuss.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's very much down to the individual. So so we as an organisation offer the business health check. So that's the kind of link to the doctor, and that's free. And that moment that kind of conversation is very much a two way conversation.
So in the business health check, Sean, what's the kind of thing that you're looking at here? What are you doing?
Well, throughout that process, really, it is a two-way street. I always say to the people, person sitting opposite me, this is your chance to actually ask questions about me, get to know me, get to feel that there might be a chemistry, because it needs to have a chemistry.
Absolutely.
Coaching and mentoring. And they need to be able to ultimately trust the fact that this person sitting opposite them knows what they're talking about. So there's that. And then, of course, my role in that is to really understand their business, understand what they're trying to do, where they're trying to drive it. And ultimately, if I'm very honest as well, and I always say it to the guys, it's about making sure that I think they're going to buy into the process, because there's no point in me working with anybody that's not going to work or not committed to the process. It's a waste of their money, to be brutally honest. So we might as well just park it, revisit it, or not revisit it, or just say, do you know what, I might not be the right person for you. You might need someone that's far more kind of structured, and it's these are the solutions.
Yeah.
So I don't do that. I tend to listen and try to come up with something that I feel is really relevant for them.
Yeah, because as you say, it does come down to what kind of relationship you can have with someone and whether you suit each other in terms of your style or whatever. No, absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just smiling. I remember a job I did a few years ago. I won't bore you with the details now. So it's an interesting area. As we discussed with Nettie, and I think we all agree, this takeoff point, if you like, from where a company's done a couple of years, got itself established, is ready to grow, is probably one of the hardest things in business, that 2 to 3 year period when you're thinking, where do I go next and what do I do next? And Bird kind of hit the nail on the head as well with the Peter Principle thing, that a lot of people stop there because they personally don't know how to go to the next level or where the next level is.
Yeah, and don't know where to find those people to help them with that as well.
Well, that's a key thing, isn't it? And I don't know how you feel about this, Sean, but that's a key thing, isn't it? It's like a lot of things these days that are service-based, is you kind of know there are people out there that will do it, but how do you know which ones are legitimate and which ones aren't, and who can give you the right advice and who can't? You know, because quite often it's quite a big commitment in terms of time and money to get a coach, a mentor or a supporter on board. But how do you know until you've done it whether it was the right thing to do? It's a difficult dilemma, isn't it?
That is a challenge, for sure. And that's ultimately one of the real big kickers for me in terms of that hour-long chat. Well, it can be longer than an hour, but effectively it's, you know, it's
do you see yourself as a candidate for a job when you go in there?
I see myself as a possible candidate
as
a non-exec director, because ultimately that's kind of what I'm doing. Yeah. If we always talk about planning, strategy planning. So one of the things that I kind of talk about is that ditch the business plan. The business plan was there for a reason. It's, you know, it's done probably what you wanted it to do. Now you need to think about strategy planning. You need to plan all of that in terms of marketing, sales, whatever it might be. And ultimately you go through that process to a point, and then what should happen really, if it's going as well as it was planned to, you start to effectively be that non-exec director. You're sitting on the board, or you're there at the end of the phone for the team to actually engage with you and to say, look, we're thinking about doing this. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, because I do have a bit of a view that I think sometimes these business owners should talk to people, obviously like yourself, but look at it as almost I'm employing this person to do this job in my business. Do they get it? Do they talk my language? Are they who I'm looking for? Just like you would anybody else.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then I think you do find you've got the right person.
Yeah, I do agree, actually. I mean, it's really interesting in terms that you can... I try to, you know, in terms of costing, I try to take that transactional conversation away.
Yeah.
Because it's more than that.
Of course, it's about people.
But actually, it's, you know, for some people, that's what it is. Yeah. They want to know what the cost is.
Yeah.
And actually, that's probably the wrong frame of mind to go into it.
Absolutely. When Nettie was talking, I was just thinking about this as well. It's very true, and it depends on your frame of mind and frame of reference in terms of how you approach these things. The trouble is, quite a few people will go, oh, I'm going to employ someone to come and tell me what to do, and it's almost like, go on then, give me the bad news or whatever. But the way I look at it is, I'm going to employ someone. If you were employing someone to come fix your PC, you wouldn't get all uptight about it. You go, well, you, get over here, fix my PC, and when you've done it, tell me what you did, You're in charge of the situation. So why can't you be in charge of the situation of someone coming in? Why can't you say, right, this is what I want. I want your help as a sounding board. I want to tell you a few things, and I want to get your thoughts and feelings on it. And then I want you to tell, you know, what it's almost as if a lot of people think that they have to take a back seat and just be told what to do by someone coming in, and that's not what you're buying.
Or they don't know what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Mm. It's really interesting, actually. I had a client at the start of the year who actually said to me, we'd had the health check, the client said, we want to work with you. And then they said, look, we don't want you to write our strategy plan. And I said, no, you've got it wrong. You're going to write the strategy plan. I'm just going to facilitate it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you just said. It's a, you know, but some of the understanding or the misunderstanding is that actually we'll sit back and you'll tell us how to do the job. Mm. Not at all.
No.
Because actually you know your business better than anybody else.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All I am is a facilitator to sit effectively to prod and probe and to ask why and to have some reasoning behind it. Mm. And we might come out, you know, at the very end, it might be some of the things that you've actually said you're going to do that I go, yeah, that's great. Mm. But it's not about me telling anybody how to run the business at all. It's not that.
Cool. Mm. Sean, we could talk about this forever. It's a really fascinating subject. Sadly, we've reached the kind of end of that. Thank you so much for that. If people want to find out more about you and you're part of Business Doctors, how do they do that?
Okay, so look at the Business Doctor website. Mm. So you're testing me now. I need to remember this, businessdoctors.com.
Yep.
And specifically for me, it's /West Kent.
Yep. There is a link on the Kent Business Radio website directly to Sean's part of Business Doctors, so do check that out. And you're also on Twitter, I think.
I am. Strategy for SME.
Strategy number 4 SME. Yep. So do give Sean a follow on the Twitter. For the moment, Sean, thank you so much for that. Thank you for joining us on the Bunker Show. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Sean Smith of Business Doctors, West Kent. Thank you.
Cheers, thank
you. Cool. I've got a couple of emails and then we're going to talk to our next guest because we're fast running out of time. Grow Kent Business Show, Tuesday the 26th of June at the Mercure Maidstone Great Danes Hotel, the Maidstone and Medway Business Show. It's a free event. If you want to go there, check out the website. The website is on the Kent Business Radio website under Business Events, and find out who's there. There's a huge lineup of speakers. It's going to be a great day. Get along.
Are you MCing?
Sorry?
Are you MCing?
No, it's a Tuesday.
Oh.
So
wouldn't that have been funny if you'd fitted that in with Four goals, four roles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a Tuesday, so I can't. So basically,
could.
How?
I could do your.
Oh, she wants to get in my. She wants to get in my seat,
like they keep saying,
ladies
Nicola
and gentlemen.
Keeps having a go at me.
She wants to get in my seat,
it's
ladies
not,
and gentlemen.
They keep saying to me.
Yeah. No, what I'm doing is I'm doing the breakfast. I'm coming here doing the Bunker Show, and then I'm comparing the Maidstone Awards in the evening.
Nice.
Yeah. So I've got an afternoon off.
Nice.
Do you know what? I want to speak to Ali now. She's sat there patiently for 2 hours waiting to say something, and now we're going to go, sorry, we've run out of time.
Well, you are. I'm not getting involved in
it. Yeah, yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome on to the Bunker, Ali Harold. Ali, welcome.
Thank you.
It's lovely to see you. Why don't you kick off by telling us a little bit about you, and then we're going to talk about Release Your Brilliance, I do think.
Okay, so I am a public speaking coach.
Mm.
So I help women who feel tongue-tied, terrified, traumatized by the idea of standing up in front of an audience to deliver.
It's funny how many people are in that frame of mind, isn't it?
Mm.
There's a famous piece of research that says, what are you scared of most? And public speaking came top and dying came third, which means that more people are scared of speaking in public than actually dying, which was a bit weird.
Yeah. No, it's people do find it for lots of reasons. They feel vulnerable. There's lots of fear stuff goes on, like they fear making a fool of themselves, fear forgetting what they want to say. There's a lot at stake.
Oh, absolutely,
We were talking earlier about speakers for their business, you know, who, if you're fronting a business, you know, there's a lot of at stake there for them. So they've reason to worry, but it isn't as scary as they might think. It's all to do, most of it's to do with the preparation, to do with making those nerves. We were talking before we came on air about making your nerves work positively for you and using them as a battery. So because you need the nerves, you need, if you didn't have the nerves, you wouldn't care and you wouldn't do a good job.
Absolutely. But increasingly, it's always been important, but I think more than ever now, the ability to present yourself in public is such a critical business skill that really anybody that tries to avoid it is asking for trouble, in my humble opinion. You know, because we all go to networking events, so even if you're not stood on a stage presenting, you've got to present your ideas in a quick and meaningful and
and deliverable way.
Absolutely. And there's so many more opportunities to speak as well. Mm. You know, we were talking about social media earlier, but by 2020, we're going to have 83% of what we see on social media will be video.
Yeah.
So if you can speak about what you do and deliver videos as on video, and like this opportunity here, we're here today, radio, there's so much.
So you're a public speaking coach. You kind of focus on women in business or women speakers.
I do.
Which is nice work if you can get it. Cool. No. It's just I used to teach public speaking as well years and years and years ago, but I never thought about just targeting women, which is probably just as well. I'm being silly.
Let's
now.
Let's move on.
Yeah, shall we move on? In terms of your public speaking work, I'm fascinated by this as well. How does your program pan out? How does it work?
It starts usually with they come to me through a workshop that I run, and it's just those are usually the people who just want to get past their nerves. But right. I also attract those people who are out there speaking and not getting the results that they want. So perhaps the amount of people who come up to them after are not there asking them if they can know more about their business, and it's just that what they're delivering, often the storytelling's missing, so they miss that great opportunity to really engage. Just storytelling, such a fabulous
absolutely,
you know, to activate all those parts of the brain of the listeners and take
well, you and I were at Business Diaries again the other night, and what a fabulous thing that is. It's exactly that, isn't it? It's a networking event in which five people tell you a story, and it's brilliant, isn't it?
And it doesn't have to be that huge story of your life. It's one moment in time that...
And it's just fascinating to listen to people's stories. And that story element, it just gives you that edge. And it can be about anything, can't it?
Absolutely. Mm. As long as, you know, the thing is with storytelling, it's taking them on that journey. Mm. So you need the words that will give you a picture, those visceral words that make them feel something. Mm. And the journey needs to... take them, you know, it can start with a really great event, something that's amazing happening, then plunge them into the depths of despair where it all went totally wrong, and then bring them back out the other end and stop them.
Because the interesting thing with telling a story, even if you don't have any techniques for doing this, once anyone starts to tell a story, what they're doing is dragging you into a visual set of thoughts and feelings where you empathize with the speaker, because you see in your mind's eye the circumstances, and you feel the feelings and you feel the emotion that a person's telling you about. And that's why it works so well against the dry, what you should do is look at my PowerPoint presentation and see on point three I said XYZ. Yeah.
And that's what helps the audience remember what you say as well.
Absolutely.
The story, because they remember that. Yes.
Ah, fantastic. So do you do the training in workshops in groups, or do you do one-to-one, or do you do both?
I do both, but the workshops are usually where people start, and then they move on to a program that I run that runs over 10, 12 weeks. So in that program, we'll move right the way through from what are their aspirations, what do they want to achieve? Because often people don't realise what they could achieve with the speaking. So when you start to ask the questions, what do you want from this? It's just, well, I want to sell my book, or I want to attract clients, but there's a bigger picture than that probably for them, but they haven't even thought about it. And the second workshop's all about storytelling, so we delve deep into that. It's usually quite an emotional day. And then the final workshop is where they deliver that crafted talk. So in between, there's webinars to get them to focus on all other aspects of speaking.
Fantastic.
The nuts and bolts of speaking.
So, brilliant. Yeah. Cool. Right, I want to move on now, because we're fast running out of time, as always, on here. And I know that you've got something very special coming up soon.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us all about Release Your Brilliance?
Okay, so we were talking earlier about giving value and not just having people who speak at people. And I've got two very good friends, actually. Bird on a bike. Hello, Bird.
Hello.
Oh, does Bird know them as well?
She does.
Oh, you know her two good friends too. Good. Oh, that's handy.
Bird on a bike and Deborah Turner.
Hmm.
And everybody knows lovely Deborah with all the work she does for the FSB and her image stuff as well. Hmm. So we got together one day and we're just discussing various aspects of women out there in business. What are they missing, the bits that they struggle with? And we each realised we've got a bit of the puzzle. there for them. And we just would get together 6 o'clock in the morning at Bridgewood Manor and brainstorm, if we did an event, what would it be about? And then that's how Release to Your Brilliance was born. So in that day, we cover all those aspects of, you know, your personal branding, how you look, what the things that, what your clothes say about you, the speaking aspect of it. And Bird talks about building that body of your business and your energy and resilience. But we get them to work. So they get a little workbook and we ask them certain questions and they make loads of notes. And we ran it last year, and just an amazing day.
Yeah.
And the result, you've mentioned Nicola Coppen. Nicola Coppen was there, and, you know, 6 months later, she's turning around saying to us, ever since that day, my life has
changed. I saw her tweet something about that the other day as well. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So, you ran one last year. It was very successful.
Yeah.
So, you're going to do it again.
Yeah.
28th of June. And where's it taking place?
Bridgewood Manor.
At Bridgewood Manor. That's the top of Bluebell Hill.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's 9:30 till 3. There's no excuse if you're a mum in business to not come. You don't even have to worry about lunch. You literally drop the children off. You come. We give you an amazing lunch. It is gluten-free. There is no choices there. Everything is absolutely of the best quality, because we wanted to say, look, if we're saying this is what you should do, then you need to come and not just have a sandwich fed to you and a bit of, you know, tart or anything. Why? What are you doing?
I was just going to ask if I could have a bacon sandwich, but I can't come anyway, can I?
No, you're a bloke.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
We were going to do a men's only.
Right.
Very interesting. One that Ali did. You didn't want to, did you, love?
No, I said straight away, I don't want to do the men's. But we've got this rule, you see, if two do, the other one goes along with it, so we did,
but there was no social evidence of it, whereas this Release Your Brilliance has gone absolutely berserk. I mean,
I'm being serious for a moment. I assume that's because, and I do actually agree with Ali, I assume that's because blokes don't kind of think about things that way.
Totally different.
Yeah, they go,
We'd have to deliver it differently.
Yeah.
So we're really excited about this, because you know, it's something that the three of us have put together. We've spent a couple of years on this now. And it's don't come if you think it's just going to be a nice little time for a nice networking. We're going to get you to work. And it's a whole work day. We've got amazing sponsors. So we've got a sponsor from Sophie Jury, who sent through these amazing annual journals. I mean, it's just crazy. She was like, Bird, we want to get there. We've got a publisher who wants to come down, because she's realised that she did an awards, a national book awards. There were no women. It's just not happening. So there, we know that we need to produce these role models for women to go, okay, so I can do it. We're not saying if I can do it, you can do it. That, I think that's dead and buried in the water now. It's actually, we need to see that it's visible, that there are women absolutely in these positions. I'm not shouting for women only by any means, but I really think it's important that we do this and make it confidence. So they can go, wow, I feel amazing. So my business, I can now pitch my business. We're missing the point with so many things.
Okay, that sounds cool. That sounds good. I mean, as you say, you ran it last year and it was a success.
Yeah.
What did you learn anything from last year that you've adapted to this year, or was it kind of the whole thing flowed and you're going to do the same again?
Well, the one thing that we did learn was that it was hard work, like anything is when you start something new. And we then sat back and evaluated, and I think Bird said, you know, it's a lot of hard, we put a lot of work in, is this worth it? But it wasn't till after we started getting that feedback of these women that we were like, wow, you know, this is really interesting, the effect this has had. And that's what propelled us on. And when you can rinse and repeat something, because we've run it before, so we know.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because in my humble opinion, people give up too soon with lots of things. Yeah. And nowadays, so many things take a long time to pan through, or pan through in different ways. Look, if you're going to give someone some advice like that, it's like insurance business, yeah? You give him some advice. It might take a year, 18 months before that advice comes to fruition and they suddenly make £1 million or sell their business or acquire a new business and they go, if it hadn't been for your advice, yeah, this would never have happened. But it takes a while for that to happen. Nothing, you know, we live in a world where we demand everything happens instantly. I've got a joke about that at the moment, about a friend's millennial daughter who's partway through university and decided she wanted some work experience. So if anybody needs a CEO of a mid-sized company, she's available. Yeah.
Yeah. But what's happened, and this is really interesting, is we're now going to make this a corporate event as well. So this is a women's empowerment event that we're putting on, that we can now go into the corporates. Now, did you know Sunday Times wants two things? So if you want to get your company on the 100 companies Sunday Times list, they want three things from you. A well-being advisor. Really interesting. So this is massive for me at the minute. Mm. Number two, they're asking you to put on a women's empowerment event. Mm. Who knew? And number three, they're wanting you to have a leadership academy, all for your employees. So do you hold this in-house? Do you hold it, you know, do you get people to come in? So now, something that we saw 2 years ago, we were like, there's these simple things that are missing, that you might go, you don't need that in business. You're so far from the truth wrong. Now we're taking it, and we're taking it into businesses and corporates. So now we want to put it to the normal place, and now we're going to take it to a corporate place. So all of a sudden, 2 years down the line, we've got a business model that we didn't even see in the very beginning, but we knew from an individual point of view.
I think also, Paul, go back to what you said, what did you learn? The key is consistency, and that's what we see in each other, is that you look at each other's business and you go, she's absolutely consistent in delivering all the time. And I can honestly say that for both Deb and Bird, that they are and I'm consistent. And that's what you have to keep putting one foot in front of the other and being consistent in what you do. And that's the only way that you're going to succeed. There's no fast.
And we do what we say we do.
Yeah.
We literally aren't here going, oh, I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to go and say I'm going to talk about business yet, because I don't feel that that's the platform that I can talk about. But certainly I can talk about energy. I can talk about manipulating hormones. Ali can talk about how to speak on stage, how to do exercises, how to absolutely get speaking gigs. Not even that, but how to pitch, how to even just speak to somebody at any place, at any end. You know, you should be pitching everywhere, every day.
Well, you're selling yourself all the time, aren't you?
Absolutely. It's as I was saying, you know, anybody in business that can't present themselves is on a hide into nothing, because you're going to really struggle.
I said to you at race day, I'm there talking to people saying, oh, I can't give you a business card. I'm at business cards phrases, by the way. I can't give you a business card now. I'm just about to race. But why don't you go on a birdandabike.co.uk, connect with me. I promise you, I've had 10 women speak to me. Now, they're just going on my website. They're having like, oh my God, she's got biking apparel now. I'm going to get something. All of a sudden, I'm just by being present, just by saying, oh, this is what my company does consistently. And that's what we do. And that's what we want to really share on that day.
Absolutely. Listen, ladies, we could have talked about this forever, but we've run out of time. So give us a shout out again for when Release Your Brilliance is, where it is, and how people can buy their ticket.
28th June, Bridgewood Manor Hotel. It's on Eventbrite. Just put in Release Your Brilliance 28th of June 2018. It'll come up. But tickets going really well. So
really need well. To
get on. Getting quickly.
It's really quickly. There is a website. So you can go on to releaseyourbrilliance.co.uk. On there you can go and book straight away. And it's giving you a countdown of the day. And it just tells you absolutely everything. You asked me one thing we did learn. One thing massive. We knew what we wanted to say, but clearly people couldn't hear what we wanted to say, and we adjusted that big time.
Yeah, okay, cool. Good. Ladies, thank you so much for that. Sorry to rush you at the end, but we've kind of run out of time, as we always do here on the Business Bunker Show. So for the moment, Ali Harold and her sidekick Bird, and the absent Deborah Turner, who's brilliant, and I love Deborah to bits. Thank you so much, and we wish you continued success with Release Your Brilliance and your individual businesses. So thank you so much. We're at the end of another show. I need to tell you about Friday and our sister show, The Bunker Extra Show, presented by Amanda Flanders. And this week's Amanda's co-host is Mr. Mark Goldfinch, and her guest is Julia Bernard Thompson. So that's 11 o'clock on Friday. The Business Bunker Extra Show here on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. So do tune in for that. I want to say a big thank you to my guests, and I'll thank them all before we leave. But just to let you know, coming up on Channel Radio 1 and Channel Radio 2 for the rest of the day, on Channel Radio 1 at 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, with his 2 hours of celebrity interviews and music. That's followed at 9 o'clock by James LaSalle with World Tunes. James is the keyboard player from Cockney Rebel, and he has a show here on Channel Radio at 9 o'clock. And then, as always, on a Tuesday, we finish up with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Cool drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So that's 11 p.m. tonight, the Club Culture show with Mr. Boy George. Tune in for that. But I'd like to say a massive thank you to everyone that joined us on the Business Bunker show today, to Annette Bunn from Rift Accounting and her guest, Mr. Simon Teague, from the King's Summit, which is happening this Friday at the Canterbury Cathedral Lodge. Do check that out. The fantastic Mr. Sean Smith of Business Doctors West Kent, and the lovely Ali Harold, and my co-host.
Yes.
Miss Honour Bike.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
And our sponsors for this week's show, the lovely folks at Oasis. Thank you all for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been a pleasure to share a couple of hours with you. As always, we'll be back next week. She ain't getting me out of the seat yet. I'm going to be here. I'll be here next week. Don't you worry.
All right.
Yeah. But you can listen to Bird tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Here on Channel Radio.
Yep.
And who's your guest tomorrow?
Henry Rosalie.
Henry Rosalie.
Yeah, leadership coach. Amazing.
Yeah, she's brilliant, isn't she? So listen to Bird and Henry tomorrow at 1 o'clock here on channelradio.co.uk/2. But that's us for another week. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll all be back next week. Do join us on the Business Bunker show then. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.